Welcome back. Today we are talking about some serious ish. Unhappy clients, redos, bad reviews, lots of negative stuff, but hopefully we can turn it into a positive for y'all.
So yeah, I mean, obviously I think for salon owners and small business owners in general, like anybody who's servicing the public, it's such a tough thing to deal with when you have people that are unhappy with their service, with their experience, with the price. There's so many different avenues that you can go down, and there's so many opportunities for individuals to really kind of tarnish your business if it's not handled properly. So I think this is a huge thing that we should talk about. And I do think that over the years, we've really refined our methods when it comes to this. And I think it served us really well.
We have a formula.
We do. So I think let's break it down.
I want to mention like how much is at stake now because of like TikTok and like Instagram. Like people can go and take to their social media platforms and a video can blow up and literally take down a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Can we also talk about at what point are salon owners going to be allowed to review clients?
Wait, there's a platform for that now.
I just heard about it.
Yeah,
there's. Are you serious?
Someone's developing a platform to
like you can give them like star ratings based. Because
it's Salon Ninja.
Is it?
No
I'm pretty
way.
Sure that they're affiliated with it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
That's a dream come true for people.
Yeah, that would be great.
And I'm not 100% sure. Don't hold me to it, but I believe that Derek's the one who mentioned that to us.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
All right.
Before we dive in, I want to share with you guys some statistics here. It's pretty insane. So from Salesforce, 91% of unhappy customers won't return. That's...
What is it? How many?
91% of unhappy customers won't return.
I believe that.
From Understanding Customers by Ruby Newell Legner, only 4% of unhappy customers actually complain. They just leave and never return.
That's me. That's me too.
All right. 13% of unhappy customers will tell 15 or more people about their experience.
Mm-hmm.
15.
That makes sense.
A satisfied client tells 4 to 6 people about their experience, while a dissatisfied client tells 9 to 15, which is what we just said. That was a study from American Express. Businesses can recover 70% of unhappy customers if they resolve the issue effectively and quickly, which is something that we're very strongly opinioned about. It only takes 12 positive experiences to make up for one unresolved negative experience.
Wow. That's a big one.
12. Yeah. The cost of acquiring a new client is 5 to 25 times higher than retaining an existing one.
Yeah. Wow.
Which we've just recently talked about this at our last meeting. Mm-hmm. Like reconnecting with old clients is easier than trying to find new ones. And then clients are 2 times more likely to return if their complaint is handled well.
So all of those, after hearing them, like each of them didn't startle me.
Really?
No, I just feel like these are a lot of things that I know.
Well, I kind of feel like lucky because I think a lot, I feel like we get reached out a lot to like in regards to this kind of thing. Like people aren't afraid to like voice their opinion. But then I'm also like, is this only like 20% of the people who actually have reached out?
Yeah.
It has to be because in all honesty, like there's 3 of us in this room. I wouldn't reach out. I would just not.
I would.
Mon wouldn't. Mm-mm. So no. There's like the shows you. Two out of three people wouldn't.
I don't have any interest.
Luke, would you?
I'm sorry. I didn't get the contact.
If you were unhappy with a service, would you reach out or would you just never go back?
I don't really like, I kind of just, I would never go back.
That's us. Yeah. So, all right. So 3 out of 4 wouldn't go back. So I think those statistics are pretty spot on.
Here's something that I do want to mention, though, is that I think that for our business, we're aware that we're not going to save, you know, not every single person's going to be happy. Like we know that and we're okay with that. And we embrace that. We're actively doing everything we possibly can to give our clients the opportunity to provide feedback. And that I think is massive. You know, like we're, as soon as they leave, they get a follow-up email. Like, yeah. Please provide feedback. And mm-hmm. a lot of them do provide feedback. I bet if we actually looked at the numbers, we'd be pretty disappointed to see how many fill out the feedback versus how many...
That don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably.
But I would say I see all the feedback that comes in. And I would say it's probably 97% positive. I would say that it, like, the people that are responding with positive feedback because they want to let us know their stylist did a great job.
Yeah.
It's not often do you find somebody who's giving a 3 or a 4-star review with a little comment. And every so often they do. And listen, I love it. Like, I respond personally to that person and I'm like, thank you so much for providing the feedback. We really appreciate it. And I, as you know, the owner of this business, I'm taking it very seriously and I'll look in to see how we can do it better in the future.
Yeah.
And
well, you reached out to that restaurant. What was different about that?
Oh, in Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. My husband did. But the best part was like he, the way he responded was like, it wasn't like being rude. It was just like, I'm a business owner. Like if I would appreciate someone to let me know these things. And he did, but we never heard back from them.
So they
never
even responded. Did he leave a review or did he email the restaurant?
He emailed the restaurant. Wow. He didn't. He emailed the manager. There was a, on the website, it had the manager's contact. So he sent him an email. Never, I wouldn't leave a review. That's just not my style.
So well, hold on. I want to mention this because I think people who are listening, there's a massive difference between somebody going on and leaving you a review and then somebody coming to you with personal feedback or in explaining their experience.
Yeah, and you gotta kiss that ass.
I also feel like, I don't know if it's my mindset because I'm a compassionate kind of person or if it's being a business owner or what, but like, I don't feel it necessary to go on any platform and bash any restaurant because people have bad days. People have off days. Things happen. Like kitchens, it's unacceptable. Yeah, like I get it. But like just send a message. Send an email and be like, hey, I just had a really shitty experience last night. This was, these are my concerns. You don't need to go on and bash somebody
and try
to destroy them and shut their business down.
Hey, hold on. Thank God for those people who do because I base so many of my preferences and places I go and visit off of the reviews.
No, I know you do. And like for us, like I know, like hearing, you never grow if you just... are always being told everything's wonderful. I get it. You can never make anything better. But I'm just saying that's not my style. Like if there's an issue, either, like,
but that warrants, like, I feel like if you reach out to an owner and you're constructive and you don't respond, I'm going to go on and write a review because I'm annoyed. Like I'm trying to help you here and you don't have the time or day to reach out to me and say like, oh, like, I'm so sorry that happened.
And especially because dinner was like $1,000 dinner. It wasn't like a $50. Like,
yeah.
And I was bringing guests with me to impress them. Like I was bragging about this restaurant, like because and that's the thing. Like, I know my experience the first time there was amazing. So I know the potential of the restaurant. And then the second time, like, okay, they had an off night. We had an off server. Like, something was off. I don't know what it was. We let them know. They didn't respond. Like, yeah, I can go on and put a review up. But do I have the time to do that?
So that's not how to handle it?
No. When you told me this, I said to you, I was like, that restaurant will be closed in a year. Because that's my belief that
it's managed being poorly managed for sure. Like right the now, manager should have definitely reached back out to me.
And to me, like I sometimes like in those scenarios, that would have pissed me off so bad that I may not have gone on and write a Google review, but I sure as shit would have Googled who the managing partner is and emailed them to let them know.
And that's the thing. Like if I had time, I would probably do that. But like, do I care enough? No, I just don't. Like, I just am like, I'll never go back. They're there. Like, okay, now you're burnt because the next time I come, I'll never recommend you to any of my friends and family. Yeah. I'll never show up at your restaurant again.
I mean, we're sitting here and talking about it on a podcast telling more than 15 people.
Well, I'm not mentioning names.
I know.
I mean, it's a really nice restaurant. I'm just like saying, like,
the proof of the statistics.
Yeah.
But I think we learned a ton about how to handle these type of things. And I can think of like some mistakes that we've made that have changed the way that we handle them, one of them being like the urgency of it.
Oh yeah.
You know, there was a scenario where we had an unhappy guest. I was on vacation and I was like, you know what, I'll call her tomorrow. This was like a Friday, I think. And I was like, I'll call her tomorrow. And woke up that morning with like the most nastiest review So I was like, you know, I think when we know that there's an unhappy guest, we advise our team to reach out to us or our managers right away and have somebody mm-hmm. contact them so that we don't give them enough time to like sit at home and, you know, call their friend and get all hyped up and, you know, get the courage or liquid courage to like hop on our business page and like write a review.
Yep. So it is that. And also the damage control you do immediately changes everything. Mm-hmm. So if you, the sooner you can respond to them and listen, like I manage the, I don't manage the email, but the email's on my phone for mm-hmm. the company. So before I go to bed at night, 8:30 PM, I'm browsing on there. I probably shouldn't be doing this for my own mental sanity. But if I see something come in and I'm not going to bother one of our managers, I reply.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hi, I'm so sorry. We dropped the ball. I'm really sorry that your experience wasn't up to par. I will have somebody in touch with you tomorrow to get this situated. Mm-hmm. And that alone, that initial response of like, wow, there's actually someone on the other end of this email that gives a shit, mm-hmm. makes all the difference.
Right.
And their immediate response to me is, wow, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like,
so I think we do a really good job with the urgency, like you said. Like, I think we reach out pretty quickly. One of us does, or our managers. But yeah, it does damage control and it can prevent a bad review. But I think like for us, I just hate the fact that somebody left our salon not happy.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to make sure that they know they can come back and that we'll do everything we can to make it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to use the school as the example for me.
What school?
Our kids go to a local school right near the salon, and we have a huge community and a ton of clients that come in to the salon to be serviced. And I, like, my biggest fear is, like, somebody would come in and not be happy and not want to tell us. And like, that's like awful. Like, I'm all for it. Like, I want everybody to love their experience. And if they're not happy, to feel comfortable enough to tell us, because I would much rather have the opportunity to make it right. And I know I just used the school as the example, but it's really like anybody. Like, you know, we have a big network of people where we live, and I'm sure other salon owners and small business owners do too. And it's like, you want the community to be happy with your business. So I think welcoming feedback is the number one thing that you can do. In fact, I would go beyond that and say encouraging it. Like, any way that you can possibly reach out for a way for them to give you feedback and let you know, I think it matters. I think that makes all the difference in a company.
So what happens when we get the feedback? What's the process here?
All right. So typically, from what I see, I think it comes in either two ways. One is they call the salon. I would say that's probably the most common one. Is the initial, you know, and it's probably like within 3 hours of them leaving the salon, you know, they call and they're like, hey, you know, I was just in, I spent $400 or, you know, whatever, I had this done and it really didn't, you know, we missed the mark somewhere. I'm not happy. And that's the good version. Sometimes it's complete opposite. It's crying in the bathroom before they leave the salon. It's screaming in the parking lot. It's, you know, calling
trying to light
on
the salon on fire.
Yeah. And I think people are so, this is what saddens me, is I think the people that act that way have this persona that we're going to resist them and we're going to fight them on coming back in. And that's not the case for our business.
No.
We have a firm policy in place that we uphold, and it's basically, you know, if you have a service done and there's a specific amount of time, you have this amount of time to give us a call and we'll do everything we can to get you back in and make you happy.
Hold on. Going back, like, not to cut you off, but a post that I saw, and I want to talk about it real quick because I think this is spiraling into this. On hairdressing advice, tips, and tricks on Facebook, somebody wrote, to refund or not refund. If you have an unhappy customer that you know is not your fault, but they are causing a scene, do you refund for an easy life and to get rid of them, or stick to your guns and take the potential consequences?
This is situational.
It's scenario by scenario. Mm-hmm. You know, it genuinely, I don't feel comfortable taking someone's money who's not happy and doesn't want to come back to us. Like, that's just kind of how I am. But also, if you try to get a refund and come back to us, like, that's also not going to fly. Yeah. You know, like, that was our chance to work together, and unfortunately it didn't work out. So good luck finding another salon home.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Yeah, I mean, I feel like every situation's different. Like, we recently dealt with a client who was very unhappy before she left. And it wasn't anything traumatic. And listen, oftentimes I think it's something that, you know, sometimes it's just what's going on in their personal life. And that may trickle in, and maybe they were looking for a really big transformation and they didn't get it that time, or it's going to take multiple sessions for them to get there. There's like a lot of different variables that come into play when it comes to this stuff. So I do think every single circumstance is by the, you know, it depends. But I feel like we have trained our leaders and our team members to know how we roll inside out. And I think in those moments, they're confident in how they handle that. And we're almost always like, yes, that's exactly what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that having really strong systems and processes and SOP, standard operating procedures for when somebody is unhappy, if you can implement that into your business, it's really going to set you up for success when it comes to dealing with these types of situations, because they're really hard.
Yeah. Well, step one, you got to hear the client out.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously step two is, I feel like I've learned this also over the past couple of years, is like making sure that you talk to the stylist too.
Oh yeah.
And if possible, the manager of the front desk involved, because I feel like there's always crazy stories and the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the client had like crazy expectations and she's telling you the story of like, this is what I wanted. She told me I was going to get it and I didn't get it. And then you talk to the stylist and it's like completely opposite. So like, just getting all the research and facts before you do make a decision. Cause I feel like that's definitely bit me in the ass before.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the initial response, whether that's coming from a front desk associate or if it's coming to me through an email, you know, the initial response is, you know, I'm really sorry to hear this. Mm-hmm. I'm not apologizing that we missed the mark, but I'm sorry to hear that you're not happy with the experience. If it's okay with you, I would love to schedule a call to learn more about how we could have done better.
Yeah.
Or where we missed the mark. And I feel like that alone is that cushion that now they feel okay. Like they're like, okay, like it's okay. I can tell them where I'm at and how I feel, and hopefully we can find a solution.
Well, that's key what you're saying. Like, sorry we missed the mark, but like, send me an email so I can learn how we can do better. Yeah. Like, you can learn a lot from negative reviews.
Do.
Yeah.
And on also, the flip there's side, a big statistic around if you can save a client.
Yeah.
That there's a massive statistic, which I don't have in front of me, but it says that if you're able to save an unhappy client and get them to come back, they're forever clients.
Yeah, it only takes 12 times, though.
Yeah.
Flip side, though, how do we handle people who don't deserve to come back?
We kindly uninvite them from our company.
Mm-hmm. I guess we could give, like, an example
of
that.
I'm a pro guys. I don't want to brag, but, like, I've really figured this out.
Oh, you act like you've done it so often. You might have done it twice.
No.
Just kidding.
I mean, I think at this point, like,
I'm a pro at this.
I am. I think, like, I have it figured out. If that person, well, I guess what you said, like, it's not, like,
we're not doing like, this shooting clients away. Like, you know, you can't come back. Nope. You can't come back either. You can't come back.
She's
you
like
can't
a doorman.
Come back. You can't come back.
No, that's not what I mean. But I mean that when somebody becomes, when it crosses that line and it becomes a point where, and listen, there's nothing bad. We're just not a good fit.
Right.
What your expectations are, what you're looking for are not what we can provide. And we want you to be happy. So that is likely going to be somewhere else. And
I
in no way am I recommending salons to somebody else, because I wouldn't ever do that, because typically clients that get to that point are not the easiest to deal with. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's the simple fact, and this goes with employees too. We're just not a good fit.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, sorry we couldn't, you know, reach your expectations. I'm going to refund you and, you know, wish you well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this rolls right into the issue that we deal with the team then. So I think, you know, when we do have these situations and then we offer to refund somebody because they're unhappy,
mm-hmm.
then the team's like, really? Now I'm out that $350 when I did everything I was supposed to do.
Well, should we mention, like, sometimes we still compensate them?
Absolutely. I think this is another thing that's
that's circumstantial.
Unfair situation.
Yep,
definitely.
It's not all the time. Like, if it's, you know, if it, they're at fault, like,
yeah, the salon will just eat
it. You got to learn a little something from this situation. But if it's like some fluke scenario where, you know, the client is just isn't a good fit, then that's usually where we kind of...
Well, why don't you, or why don't, why doesn't some, I think we should talk through what happens after that initial thing. You know, we offer them to a stylist.
Well, yeah, we offer them to come back in with their original stylist. If that's a no, we offer them to come back with someone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if the client doesn't want to come back in, that's kind of where we have the conversation with the manager of, like, what actually happened and how we're going to proceed with what went down. Mm-hmm. Majority of the time, I feel like our team does a really good job of, like, taking accountability when we do have these conversations with them. And if they can't, we figure it out for them, mm-hmm. because it can't just be like, oh, well, I did what she asked and she doesn't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And almost always I find when I do those deep dives with a team member, it's something that happened in the consultation. Mm-hmm. It's always the consultation. It's not that they couldn't perform. It's that there was a miscommunication that happened in the consultation. Maybe they didn't ask for photos. Maybe that person's version of Sandy Blonde was cool and the stylist gave them warm. There's so much that goes into a consultation. And, you know, what we just said, like, you know, someone might have the expectation of this is what I'm going to get today, when in all reality, it's going to take 6 times to get you there.
Yeah. Overpromised and underdelivered. Mm-hmm.
I think it's important, too, if you were able to recover an unhappy client and get them back into the salon, I think it's important for another follow-up, like, just to double check. Like, hey, we got you back in. How was it? Did we meet your expectations this time?
Yeah, we started doing that.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, I think there's so much value behind that because, like, for me,
I would appreciate that.
Yes. If somebody called me again to make sure that, okay, we knew you weren't happy the first time, but we're making sure you're happy the second time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everything.
I mean, that's like Ritz-Carlton experience when it comes to, you know, which we're familiar with.
Yeah.
But basically providing that added level of support to make sure that we, you know, that you're happy. The other thing with this is what we recently dealt with a couple of weeks ago with the clients being booked for a redo. And then not having a blowout. And that's like, that's become a little bit of a thorn in our side. And we've recently shifted gears with how we handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere. Especially in our client. I mean, our climate, like around here in the wintertime, it gets cold. Last week, it didn't even get out of like the single digits. And you can't send a client home with dripping wet hair. It's going to be icicles by the time they get there.
Like, weather aside, like, I don't know where down the road we thought that was okay. I think we said it was around COVID times where we were like, you know, felt like we had the upper hand somewhere. Yeah. But from customer service standpoint, like, I'm already disgruntled that, like, you guys couldn't get my hair right. Now I'm going to come in here and I have to leave wet. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. When?
Yeah. Anyway, so going back to reviews, I think it's interesting, though. One of the things that really sucks about reviews is that, like, once they're up, you can't ever get them taken down. It's, like, impossible. So, like, it really is a really bad smear campaign. And if you're not responding the right way.
You're giving me PTSD.
Why?
Does anybody remember when... We had, oh God, it was awful. I like got to my phone and I had like.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. And it wasn't even our salon.
No, it was. It was like.
Well, they're my other favorite reviews when you get one and it's like a bad one and you're like, wait, you're not even our client. Like, oh, that's the salon in the other county.
okay. So this is giving me PTSD because I can remember a time where I like got to my cell phone and I had like 6 text messages and it was from all different types of people. It was like the girl who was handling our marketing at the time, a friend of mine who lives in the city, one of the girls from the salon, someone else. And they're all like, dude, have you seen this post? Have you seen this post? Have you seen this post?
And I'm
like,
what
is it? So I go on and it's in this Phila Queens group. And you guys remember this?
I remember the content.
And basically blasted our salon and was like, had my hair done at Privé. It sucked. It's atrocious. And she basically went in for a service as like a, she was basically, it was like a free service for someone to practice. Yes.
Now I remember. Yes. She had the service done for free by an assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And blasted the salon and didn't pay.
Basically went on to this massive group that has impact. I mean, if you're telling me I had like 4 to 5, 6 text messages come in within 10 minutes of this one group, and it was like the damage that happened right there.
Yeah, you just got smeared.
With zero contact.
It was so bad. And then it was like a bunch of comments on it. And I was just like, I was devastated. Like as a salon owner, like I was tempted to comment and just be like, listen, like you're speaking about my business and... we take tremendous pride in what we do. And if you're unhappy, you know, please reach out to me and I'll do my best to make it right. I should have done that at the time. I didn't. I don't know why. But basically, like, yeah, it was a complete like smear campaign and it was awful. And it wasn't awful. Listen, I'll take the hit. I don't give a shit. You can hit me. But I felt so bad for the stylist that was in that scenario. Yeah. Because it was bullshit.
Yeah.
And that was difficult. That was really hard. And I learned lessons on that. Like I said, there's things I probably would have did differently if that happened today.
Yeah.
I would have put that in check. But
responding to reviews, mm-hmm. I feel like it matters, like you said. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's times where people don't have the facts right in yeah. the reviews. Like, you know, sometimes they're wanting expectations and they're actually 30 minutes late.
Oh my God.
Or they've never even been to the salon and are calling us racist because we said they had curly hair.
Yeah, there's
it's the world we're living in today.
There's so yeah. much that goes into it, but the reviews are really important. And to be honest, I think there's a formula.
Yeah.
And I read a book. I think I told you to read it. I read a book when we first opened and I was trying to figure this out, and it was like something social media, I don't know. But it was basically talking about how to handle these situations and handle them like with like class and empathy. And the biggest thing is you have to know that when you respond, you're not only responding to that person, you're responding for every person that's ever going to read that review.
Yeah.
Now they're watching to see how you're handling it.
Yeah.
There's a place for like accountability, but there's also a place where you like need to defend your side of the story and yeah. like your integrity as a business owner.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two quotes that like stick out and resonate in my head. Like, do you guys like have mottos that you like try to live by?
Yeah.
Well, these are two that I try to live by. And
live
I'm
lucky.
What?
Live lucky.
Yeah. But I mean, these are two mottos that literally like I hear them inside my head all the time. But I struggle with them because that's like not my personality sometimes. In some situations, it's really hard. But the two are nothing good comes from an emotional mouth.
Yeah.
So I try to tell myself that all the time because I'm super emotional. And the other one is always be the calmest person in the room.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that's really hard for me sometimes, but I try to. And I definitely hear it inside my head, but
yeah.
But I feel like when you are responding in to an unhappy client, those two things, you can't be emotional and you need to be calm.
Yeah.
And for anybody who is not familiar with ChatGPT,
yeah.
And you're not confident in the verbiage that you provide, it is the most powerful tool these days in regards to helping with responses for those types of things. And I'm not saying to just like plug the review in and draft a response, which you certainly can do, but also just like throwing your words into it and it's going to, you know, regenerate in a really compassionate, like well-read way.
I think. Or even just like sometimes I just like provide the context that's missing and mm-hmm. like add the response, provide the context that's missing, but like respond in a professional way where like you're still taking accountability but you're also like missing some of the facts.
For sure. The other thing with that is that we respond to every review.
Yeah.
Good, bad, ugly, all of it. Every single review on every single salon site, all 400 of them.
A review with no words gets a response.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep, everything gets acknowledged for sure because it matters. Yeah. I mean, in today's world, the top three ways people are finding your business are through Google reviews.
You're only good at restaurants based on reviews.
100%. Yeah.
So
I mean, it's every business. Everything that I go to, I need to make sure that I'm, especially now when I get like one night out a year.
Yeah.
That like wherever I go, I'm making sure that it's going to be a top-notch experience.
I've never left a bad review. Have you guys?
I don't think I have.
I don't remember. I may have, like, if I got pushed far enough, but I don't. I just feel like I don't have the energy for it.
Wait,
yeah.
My favorite?
But I will. Hold on real quick. I will say my husband, though, is a huge review reader. Like, I mean, if he has to go buy a hammer, I mean, he will literally sit and read 45 different reviews about it on Home Depot or Amazon till he decides which one he's buying. Yeah. It's, like, life-consuming for him.
Yeah.
My,
What was your favorite something you were going to say?
My favorite is when we do get a negative review and I end up like doing a deep dive down a rabbit hole of who that client is.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, not that I love, but it does give me some validation.
The math is mathing.
When they have the math is mathing.
When you click on them and you're like, oh, now they've only ever left one-star reviews and they blast every business. I'm like, all right, math is mathing.
Yeah, and also like don't come and write a review if you haven't like reached out to somebody yet too. Like that annoys me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand how people can sleep at night when like they haven't even given a business an opportunity to like redeem themselves. Or like they don't even know what happened. And you're just going to go on their Google business page or Yelp and blast them when they have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that's just so unfair.
But it really
people
is.
Are people, I guess. But respond to your reviews.
Respond to your reviews.
Yeah.
And be extremely adamant about receiving feedback. Like however you see fit, and I don't know what type of software or what type of capabilities your company has, but I do think that literally begging people to give you information around how your business is doing and how it can be better is literally the roadmap for how successful you're going to be in the future.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was spicy.
And I oftentimes, like, even if I run into someone and, you know, they tell me, like, oh, I went to the salon. I got this done. I'm like, really? How was your experience? And I can tell. And if I have the slightest inkling that it wasn't what I wanted it to be, I'm like, all right, I need you to be real with me here. What happened? And they tell me, you know, like I do. Like I'm like, okay, let me make this right.
Oh, I almost had a heart attack the other day. I didn't tell you guys the story, but I was meeting after I met with the doctor. I had to sit down with the scheduler and we're talking, me and her. And she's like, oh, you own Privé? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, I used to go to Privé. And I'm like, oh, you did? So right then in my gut, I knew something. I'm like, all right, why don't you still come to Privé? So she gets into this story and she was like, yeah, like you guys had to deal with me for over a year. I had my hair fried off. And this is how she's telling me. And I'm like, my throat, like it was closing in this moment. Cause I'm like, here, I'm trying to book this procedure with you. Here, you hate my guts because we fried your hair off. Like, what are you going to do to me? But anyway, so she's, and she was as nice as can be, but she was telling me about an experience she had. And I was like, and you didn't have a good experience with her? She goes, oh, no, I had a great experience with her. And I'm like, you did? She's like, oh, I loved her. She was the one that helped me get by for the year after I had my hair fried off at a different salon.
Oh my God.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, my God, I thought you were telling me that we fried your hair off. And I was like so upset. But here, and then I finally said, I'm like, well, wait, why don't you still come to us? And she was like, oh, my best friend moved closer and now I just go to her. And I'm like, I get that. Like, I understand that. But thank God. I thought she was telling me that we fried her hair off. She had to deal with us for over a year. I was like, oh my God.
Oh man. All right. But, yeah. Anything else on this?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Yeah. That was good. Hopefully we provided you guys some insight and hopefully everybody's reading their reviews, responding to their reviews, welcoming feedback.
Using ChatGPT.
The last piece is just making sure that your people are trained. And however your front desk or whoever's answering the phone calls is handling it the way that you would like it to be handled. Because I think that initial experience when a call really, really makes a difference.
And urgency is key. Yeah. Always make sure if it's a bad review, you respond immediately.
For sure.
Or within a few hours.
All right. If you like this episode, please give us a like, give us a subscribe, and we will catch you on the next episode.